That's the music from that UCLA gymnastics meet that young lady burst onto the scene for some of us. We'll talk about that here in just a second. By the way, you know, I don't know if you guys agree with me on this, but this weather today, to me, would have been perfect for the Winter Classic.
That would be cool.
Yeah, man.
13 inches of blowing snow coming down on an outdoor professional hockey game.
Yeah.
I'm sure the players wouldn't have loved it, and maybe the people in the stands would have been mixed, but
it's entertainment.
I think that would have just been another layer to what was actually a really fun event. The Blackhawks lost the Winter Classic at Notre Dame this year, but don't you guys just love that thing? I just thought it was terrific. This is all a little dated, but I was just thinking about it because I'm sporting a pretty awesome Blackhawks Winter Classic jersey.
That is accurate. It's a black jersey. It's pretty cool.
So it's kind of like it was on the day because you're wearing the jersey. But actually, Andy and I were talking about it before that game, how, you know, the Blackhawks have done it so often that it might seem like it gets watered down. But once the day comes, there's so much excitement going on, and you want to watch it. But you know what? When it snows this much, it actually makes it difficult to maintain the ice, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, right. I think visibility and ice maintenance and, you know, the skates probably sticking. So it's not good for them.
What if they just made like a clear plastic bubble over the ice?
Like the game?
Yeah, like the bubble hockey game, and they could just skate around in there?
That would be pretty cool. Imagine if there was like a fog bowl incident for the Winter Classic. The whole event is to go and watch it, and you can't.
All right, it's 10:42 on WGN Radio. So back to gymnastics. We posted again on my Facebook page. It's pinned to the top of my feed, in fact. And that is the video of this young woman. She is a senior at UCLA, and Caitlin does one of those running, tumbling passes that you remember from the Olympics. But without all of the tension, she makes every pass. And you get the feeling as she does it that she knows she's going to do it. She's that good, and it just seems so fun. She's got a lovely face, and she's so joyful and athletic. And the things she's doing just blow your mind, including at the very end, where she goes about 73 feet in the air and then lands in the splits. So I called the coach to ask her after 100 million views if she would tell us a little bit about this young lady and UCLA's women's gymnastics team.
Well, we're seven-time national champions. We're reigning national champions. Yeah, and I've never done gymnastics, so that's really fun.
How is it that you're the coach if you've never done gymnastics?
I'm a dancer by trade, ballet, choreographer, and in 1982, UCLA gave me a full scholarship to be their dance coach. And then I graduated, and a few years after that, they called me in the office, and they said, we want you to be our new head coach. And I said, you know, I don't know the first thing about gymnastics. And they said, well, we like the relationship you have with the student-athletes. You're tough, but you're compassionate, and we trust you'll figure the rest out. And that was 29 years ago, so I guess I'm doing something right.
I couldn't help but notice how many dance elements there seemed to be in her open floor routine. Is that true, and is that a trend?
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely hard, her routine, even though it's really fun and very joyful, and that's what, you know, the catchphrase is with people. When they watch it, they say she just exudes joy, and she makes people feel joyful. But when you watch it, the dance is really intricate, and the tumbling is extremely intricate. So it is a very high-level competitive gymnastics floor routine that she makes look easy and fun.
Tell me a little bit about her. Where's she from? How long has she been at UCLA?
She is originally from Seattle. She moved to Texas to train when she was 11 or 12 years old. She was slated as one of, if not the best gymnasts in the world. She trained and competed and won the American Cup when she was, I believe, 14 or 15. She retired from elite gymnastics after that. Everybody had her on track for the 2016 Olympics, and she called me up and just said, hi, Miss Val, it's Caitlin Ohashi, and I just don't want to do elite anymore, and I want to come to UCLA. And of course, I was shocked, because here's the best gymnast in the world, A, calling me, and B, telling me she's not going to train for the Olympics. And I just asked her, why? You know, you're at your height, you're at your peak, why now? And she said, I don't enjoy it. I've just lost my love for doing gymnastics. And so she came to UCLA. That was 3.5 years ago. She's in her senior year here. And her freshman year, she was about 60% of her ability. She got out of physical shape to be a top-level gymnast. And she just said, I just don't want to be great again. And when she explained it, she just said, you know, I've never associated anything positive with being great. And so I knew at that point that she was a freshman, that in order for me to help her turn her life around, I would really have to earn her trust. And it was going to take a long time. And it took about a year and a half. And ever since then, I've just been able to watch this beautiful flower bloom.
It's hard to imagine that she would say those things, because you're right, joy and competence are two words that come to mind. You think she's the best in the world and loves doing it. That those two weren't always together, huh?
No. And I think too often in our country that we feel that we need to take the joy out of learning, whether it's sports or academics and STEM. You know, it's like if you're enjoying it, then you're not taking it seriously enough. And I feel the exact opposite. I feel that when you bring joy into the equation, then you're basically sprinkling the secret sauce over all your hard work.
Yeah.
And that's what brings out the magic, that when you focus on the person before the athlete, you actually get a better result.
Where is Caitlin in her career then?
Caitlin has 3 more months, and then she will have exhausted her NCAA eligibility. And her dream is to go on Dancing with the Stars.
She doesn't want to be in the Olympics?
No. Uh-uh.
Would you talk about her ability relative to Olympic gymnasts?
Well, she's certainly talented enough, and she certainly has the mental game to be able to do it. But the sport, when you're doing it in training for 8 hours a day since she was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, until she quit elite, it does take its toll on the body. And she has found so much joy through all of this that she doesn't have anything left to prove gymnastically. She wants to take everything she's learned now and put it into her passions. One of them is, like, she has dreamt about being on Dancing with the Stars for 4 years. And she also has a real strong passion for very serious social issues such as body shaming and abusive situations, relationships, homelessness, stuff like that. And she's never been homeless, but she certainly has had quite a bit of body shaming. I mean, she went viral. She's the darling of the world right now in gymnastics. And there are still people on social media just the last day that are making fun of her body. And it's like, well, you know, I don't understand why people feel the need to be mean, but she's lived through that. She's lived through abusive relationships. And she's got a very strong voice. She does open mic work. She writes incredible prose and poetry.
What is she studying at UCLA?
She's gender studies.
This is a question for her, but maybe you can answer it. So looking at the career arc she's had, because all of us thought, why don't I know that young lady? Why isn't she in the Olympics? But she would say no regrets about her choice.
Absolutely no regrets. Yeah. And she's the last, I think the only person that has beat Simone Biles.
Well, is she as good on the other elements as she is on the floor? What are her strengths and weaknesses as a gymnast?
She's just as good on balance beam. She's not as good on bars and vault because her shoulders are pretty beat up. And so if we had her train bars and vault, it would compromise the work she does on beam and floor.
Let's just quickly talk about that routine and also the reaction from her teammates, which is not a small part of that video. And it's just so wonderful how it was captured. But just walk me through briefly that routine of hers. It's one she's done before.
Her routine is ridiculously hard. I mean, she did a first tumbling pass that I don't think another woman in gymnastics in the world does. Simone Biles obviously could, but it's not just a double flip in a straight body position, but she splits the first flip. So that's really hard. She learned it this year, which is another tribute to her determination. And then she goes right back with her second pass, which has multiple flipping and twisting, bouncing elements to it. There's not another athlete in our gym that could do that. We have 2 gold medal Olympians in our gym right now on our team. They couldn't do that pass. And then her last pass is just as difficult. So the whole thing is jam-packed. It's a tribute to her preparation with this, that she's so confident mentally with it that she can release herself and have fun.
Yeah, she sure seems like she knows she's going to stick it, and she's able to smile, relax, and enjoy it. And at the end of that final pass where she goes way up in the air and then lands in the splits. You know, they ought to do a video of people watching that for the first time.
I know. Whenever she does her routine, I watch people in the audience instead of watching her because the reactions are just priceless.
It's amazing. And so then her teammates along the side are cheering and clapping and snapping and dancing to it. And they're so there for her. And I thought, is this typical?
It is typical. It's the same way with all of our athletes when they're on an event. It doesn't matter which apparatus, vault bars, beam, or floor. We don't have a social status in our gym. There's no hierarchy. That's the word I was looking for in our gym. There's no jealousy amongst our student athletes. There's no girl nonsense going on, which is really a tribute to them and how much they love their team, because we've got 20 girls on our team between the ages of 18 and 22.
Are the other
Caitlin has had to come in every day this week and do training just like everybody else has to.
No, she has to go do TV talk shows and be an international celebrity for 15 minutes. Could the other girls do a floor routine? Maybe not that one. Maybe not like that. Do they have amazing floor routines too? And do the other women on the team then cheer them on when they're doing their routines?
Oh, yes. They don't think of it as Caitlin's routine or Kyla Ross's routine or someone else on the team. They think it is their routine, and they just are on the side doing it while the other person gets to be on the floor doing it. Yeah. But we're known for our floor routines, and it's kind of sad that, you know, the rest of the team is in Caitlin's shadow at this moment on floor, because they are just as spectacular. I mean, we've had consistently really high scores on floor. And there will be other student-athletes that get 10s on floor this year. And 10s on Kyla Ross got a 10 on bars this weekend. But she's not getting the notoriety that Caitlin is, because it's floor. It's fun.
Yeah.
People like to dance. Caitlin went viral last year to over 100 million views with her floor routine. And we've had two other athletes before her. So the last 4 years, we've had someone go viral. And a lot of people have asked me what the commonality is, why those routines. And it's because the music choice is well known and the choreography is very relatable. It's not high-end, highbrow gymnastics dance. It's dance that you see in music videos and that you can do in your living room. I believe the reason why worldwide people are embracing this is because they can relate to it.
And is the choreography or the scoring or the style and attitude of collegiate gymnastics different than Olympic gymnastics then?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, this looks like more fun. It looks less...
Yeah. All sports are entertainment. We are vying for the entertainment dollar, especially in a place like Los Angeles, where I want you to spend your money coming to a gymnastics meet than going to a professional football game or basketball game, seeing the Lakers, or going to a movie.
How are the crowds?
Ridiculous. We're averaging 9,000 people.
Wow.
Last year, we sold out Pauley, over 13,000 people. We have our next home meet on Monday at 2 o'clock, and we just know that we're going to be at capacity.
That's Valerie Condos-Field. She's the UCLA women's gymnastics coach, talking about Caitlin Ohashi, who's 10, kind of rocked the world, and we could have used it this week, right? If you want to see the video that she and I were talking about, it's on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. We're getting ready for the news. You're wondering about the weather. All of that information coming up on WGN. The snow's going to go and the cold is going to come, and it's going to be here for a while. It's 11:14. Good morning. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. I have to laugh, and it's just me, but when the president says he has a major announcement, not just an announcement, nothing is small by this president's standards, when he makes an announcement. And by the way, if you're the president of the United States and you order a ham and cheese sandwich, that's major ham and cheese news. But still, the president feels like he has to remind you that not only does he have an announcement today about the topic everybody is wondering and worrying about, but it'll be a major announcement. And when he says major, I have to think of...
He won a major award. They won a major award.
I don't know, that song comes to my mind. A major award. I want him to come out with the leg lamp from The Christmas Story and say, this lamp. So the president's major announcement, maybe he'll be given a major award, will take place at 2 o'clock our time this afternoon. The Mincing Rascals, judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago this year includes Eric Zorn, Tribune columnist, and Scott Stantis, editorial cartoonist from WGN Radio, are Patty Vasquez and Steve Bertrand. The gang and I were on Thursday talking a little bit of politics. People are not tolerant of the Pence's religious beliefs. Or is it that the Pence's aren't sufficiently tolerant of the LGBTQ community? It was there that Steve Bertrand picked it up.
I also think, and been thinking of this, I think we are near a time when anti-gay discrimination, anti-gay policies will be looked at like anti-segregation policies segregation policies in the 50s and 40s and 30s. I mean, I think we're going to be at a time, maybe a decade, maybe 20 years from now, when we look back and say, can you believe they did that?
I'm there already, man.
Well, I know you are. Sure. I know you are. I am too, but I'm saying as a country, we're going to look back and say, Can you believe they really did that?
I hope so.
Does Nancy Pelosi have the right to, well, I guess she does. I mean,
she has the power.
It's congressional consent to invite the president to address them. It's the House and the Senate. And she reminds the world in the letter to the president, it was so charming, that Trojan horse she rolled into the White House this week. But she said that this is done as a sort of consideration by the president. In the past, it was done in writing. It doesn't have to be a big ceremony. And doggone it, we just don't think it's fair to charge the people who are charged with securing the safety of all of these people to ask them to work this event. The government is strapped right now. Should the president have a State of the Union address?
Scott had a twitch going over there.
Sorry. No, you can't. She has, just to be clear, the letter goes on to express the historic context, but she doesn't have the right to say the president cannot have a State of the Union. In fact, it's in the Constitution. He or she has to.
From time to time, give to the Congress information of the State of the Union.
It's her house, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where she has the power. She's the one who issues the invitation.
I think that sends such a petty... I mean, it's
well, aside from that,
it's playing to his...
Okay, so it's a lot of things. It is petty. What else is it?
It's brilliant. I love it. I love this. First of all, I hate the State of the Union. I've always hated it. I hate it when Barack Obama did it. I hate it when Trump did it. I hate it when Bush did it. I hate it when Clinton did it. It is a preposterous political...
Here, as we sit, President Trump today talked about missile defense. And he's going to include or increase missile defense. That's usually the sort of impossible space issue that comes up during a State of the Union address.
Right.
Yeah, Bush was going to go to Mars, right?
They're ludicrous events, and I think if Pelosi torpedoes it forever, if it becomes this thing that it never happens unless there's the Speaker of the House and the President of the same party, even then I would like to see it go away. I think it's good that she's doing this. I think the message she's sending is you're not acting presidential here. You're not doing your job as president, so we're not going to come in and clap for you and stand up and put on this big dog and pony show for the whole nation. You can give us your State of the Union speech from the Oval Office if you want, or you can go in the well.
He's still going to talk that day.
He's going to, but I think this reminder of all the norms that he has broken, all the norms he's broken in his 2 years here. So this one norm Nancy Pelosi decides to break, fine, great. I'm thrilled. I hope they don't have the State of the Union.
Well, I actually agree with Eric on this one, and to the extent that watching it is torture. To watch to see these grown-ups stand up and down when they applaud is juvenile. What are you? This is elementary school.
It's petty. It's brilliant. It is...
Not the same since Jesse Jackson Jr. wasn't there to greet the president.
Oh, God, that's right. Really? Jesse about leaped over people to try and
he would always get there the day before so he could...
A lot of people.
What's Patty's adjective?
I thought it was well done, I guess. I think it was elegantly
well played
done.
On her part, you mean? This whole notion?
I think to redo it, I wouldn't have played on security. I mean, it wasn't about security. Maybe she should have found a different route than that.
This year would have been really hard to watch. But, because you're right, I agree with you guys that the one side stands up, and if you have mixed parties behind the president, then it's always looking at their faces. It's a bizarre visual. But the rhetoric can be aspirational. I like the idea of the president. When it goes well, any president, it's been terrific to hear who we are and what we can be, even though one side doesn't want to clap as much.
John, you're thinking of Michael Douglas in The American President. It doesn't happen in real life.
America isn't easy. America is advanced citizenship. You've got to want it bad, because it's going to put up a fight.
I don't know. I think you go back and listen to some of those speeches and you'll find paragraphs in there that you thought, let's be the best man we can be.
I think the letter is better than somebody heckling President Obama when he did his speech.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
I mean,
Yeah, that guy was in trouble afterwards with his wife. Okay, speaking of being the best man you can be, Gillette is running an ad.
We believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
But some is not enough. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
Eric, what's your problem with this commercial?
I don't have a problem with it at all. I love it. I love this ad, and I am amused beyond belief at the conservative men who have taken such umbrage at this, these bro flakes, as people are calling them, who feel like just this call for decency, like don't be a bully, don't grab women's, don't condescend to them, be kind. And this is a message that is just infuriating the right, and I can't believe it.
I don't like it that much. I like the message. I thought the presentation was pretty amateurish, frankly.
It was the presentation of an important message was late and not well executed.
You know what, Eric? I'm sorry. Maybe I'll. What am I, a bro flake or a?
I don't think you're. You didn't sound like you're.
Oh no,
really
you're saying it to my face now. Yeah, no, I'm not offended by it.
No, if you're offended by it, then I'd say it to your face.
I'm offended-ish by it. I don't like the fact that they do seem to implicate a vast majority of, and like it's they seem to indicate that's typical of man.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
I thought it was really silly when after the epiphany, the dad goes out and tells his six-year-old fighting sons to, you know, we don't settle our things like that. That was just silly. I mean, I didn't raise my kid that way. I don't think most dads raise their kids saying, go take it to the backyard.
A lot of dads do. A lot of men treat women really badly. Bullying is a huge problem. It's a bigger problem, I think, than it has been before. And I think that the general message of that ad is like, hey, be kind, settle your differences, be respectful of women.
I love the message. I'm okay. 100% behind the cause ad and all of that. I just don't think it was very well done.
Well, I also think it's a hard pendulum swing backwards, right? Because for decades, women have watched boobs and butts be used to make us feel like we don't add up. That we're
by
not
Gillette
good
sometimes, too, by
yeah,
the way.
About how you can pretty much get laid if you use their razors.
By the way, that's not
sorry
true.
Steve and I have tried. We've conducted the experiment.
Did I cross the line? Did I use a bad word?
Did you think that they overplayed their hand, that they so characterized men that way?
There's this weird moment where you're watching a big corporation use feminism to sell a product that is uncomfortable. I didn't think it was that well executed. I do think it's sort of this over and over again, you know, be better kind of a situation. I think it's fine. I like the message. I'm not sure if it's a Super Bowl commercial. I wonder if they leaked it early,
yeah,
knowing that it would be better to do it now than to actually have it run during
the
Super Bowl.
Well, the online one's a minute 43 seconds long or something like that. It's
right,
almost 2 minutes. So I haven't seen the 29-second version of it, which would be interesting to see. Maybe it wouldn't be as heavy-handed.
I think the conversation is great to have, and I think that, if you look at a lot of the online responses, I mean, there's some really disgusting stuff out there. And
it's getting more thumbs down than thumbs up.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if people are upset about it, I mean, I think it says more, the ones that are getting really angry. I mean, I get not liking the message or that it's a bit broad, but I think that the people who are getting
broad
really upset. Yeah.
Okay.
Wide-ranging.
Shut up, Eric. Go ahead, Patty.
I just tend to think that a lot of men kind of are proving the point of the commercial and being jerks online.
I'm not offended by it. I just seemed it was ham-handed. I thought it was generalized. It actually stereotyped a lot of men who are just the dude at the barbecue telling his kids to go ahead and beat the crap out of each
right
other.
Want the last hot dog? Beat the kid up.
And ultimately what my cartoon says, I don't want a life lesson for my razor. I just want to shave. I just want them to tell me that, you know, it's going to be really good blades. It's going to cut my hair on my face without shredding it.
Scott Standis, this cartoon is the world-weary man looking into the mirror with the shaving cream and he's like...
His razor is like saying all this stuff.
All this chatter about his behavior.
You know, doesn't stereotype all men, by the way. I mean, the heroes in that
elevates the ones
wait
that stand
a minute,
up.
But the heroes in the commercial are men. The men who stop the guy from pursuing a woman. The guy who pulls the kids off the.
But the language, bullet. Eric. The language was some men understand.
It's endemic in the culture. We've had a problem for a long time, and we have looked away. And all of a sudden, it's exploded on us. So I have room for mistakes in this conversation.
And I think if the reaction is more negative than positive, that could be positive. I mean, right? Because people should be unsettled by things that challenge them.
I also want to point out that this isn't Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. It's a commercial to sell you razors.
Well, I think they got stuff wrong in it anyway. I don't think the language sounds right that are coming out of the lips of the actors in this thing. And the scene where the dad at the barbecue pulls the two kids that are fighting on the lawn.
That's not how we treat each other, okay?
Okay.
You know, that's the thing I got the most pushback about on my show. A lot of parents said, wait a minute, I teach my daughter, if someone's fighting you or punching you, you punch back. And I've heard that from parents about their sons as well. I don't know that the 10-year-olds rolling on the grass punching each other, and it's their brother or their buddy, is a terrible part of the human experience at that age.
But wasn't it also the other dad standing around kind of laughing about it and goading them on? There's one dad that said, if we're talking about that one particular element of the commercial.
Yeah, I think that was conflating things. Yeah. I think what those kids were doing needs to be managed. The thing, too, is that some of these campaigns have gone really well. Remember when Dove did one Always did one where they talked to women about their self-image? Run Like a Girl was a good campaign.
My name is Dakota, and I'm 10 years old.
Show me what it looks like to run like a girl. What does it mean to you when I say run like a girl?
It means run fast as you can.
I think some of the Nike social image advertising has been good. And by the way, they had a great year on the heels of Colin Kaepernick, It can be done well. Pepsi completely screwed it up when they asked Kendall Jenner to sort of, interfere in a police line with a can of Pepsi and then the unrest goes away. That was a bizarre ad and it didn't work. This one's in between. And the more I think about it, Steve, the more I'm coming around to your side on this one.
As with everything.
Okay, so that's Eric, last thought about that.
You and Bertrand are wrong.
Again, as with everything.
That's the Mincing Rascals, Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn, Scott Standis, our own Patty Vasquez, too. The Mincing Rascals judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago this year. You can hear it all wherever you listen to podcasts. The Mincing Rascals, we post it on my Facebook page. You can also listen to it at WGNRadio.com.